Good evening. Wow. Well, Mr. Shelley called me a few weeks back, months or so back, and asked me if I'd come and share with you this evening about Mount Jubilee Ministries. And Mom was here and shared with the ladies this morning, and I told him, I said, well, sure, I'd be glad to. And then I saw Mark a little bit, about a week or so later, and got to talking with him. And when I'd agreed to come, I was thinking about our Wednesday night meeting at Parkway. And I was glad that I saw Mark, because Mark said, yeah, we've got about 100 or so people or so up on Wednesday night. If I'd have pulled in the parking lot, having not talked to Mark, I'd have probably turned around and drove back to Wednesday. So I'm glad that that was. But then sitting and listening to the brothers pray, it's encouraging to know that it doesn't matter where we are. We're all brothers and sisters. So I'm going to do the best that I can for the Lord up here this evening. And hopefully you'll learn something. And when it's all said and done, we'll bring glory and honor to the Lord. So. Mount Jubilee Ministries is a nonprofit 501c3 charitable organization. The ministry is to young people with special needs and their families and caregivers. You may have a bit of familiarity with it. For a number of years now, you've collected different snacks and supplies for us, and we definitely appreciate that. Our mission statement at MJM at Mount Jubilee is that it's the desire of Mount Jubilee to be a supporting arm to families who have loved ones with special needs. Rather than expecting secular departments of health and social services to provide for these precious people, Mount Jubilee Ministries will strive to give families the assistance and resources to be a part of the ongoing lives of their special folks. Our vision is to provide a safe, Christ-centered, productive environment for these people who are often overlooked. Mount Jubilee is governed by a board of six directors. They're Andy Burgess, Jim Makarevich, Clark and Nancy Richardson, Vaughn Bosman, and our founder, Janice Bishop. Loretta Burgess is our correspondent. Ellen Makarevich is our treasurer. Pat Bosman is our head dietitian. And Kendra Kennedy is our secretary. All of the directors and all of the officers are actively involved in the ministry. It's not a board that sits and says, it's a board that actually goes and does. And that's a blessing for us. Our program in the ministry currently includes Camp Jubilee, Touchpoint seminars, and day camps. We're prayerfully waiting to branch out into some other areas that include a residence program and a sheltered workshop. The first phase of Mount Jubilee begins with Camp Jubilee. Camp Jubilee is a 5-day resident camp. All of our staff are volunteers. They go through and are interviewed and screened before they're allowed to actually come in and work in the camp. And they either have previous experience working with special needs folks, or they get training before they're just, we don't just throw people in. They need to have a little bit of training to know what to expect. Our parents and caregivers of our campers are not allowed to participate as staff. This is a week of respite for them. It's a week of rest and respite for them so that they can get a break, knowing that their loved ones are being taken care of and having a good time, and it gives them a chance to actually step back and sit down, catch their breath, and have a week for themselves as well. We have a very dedicated kitchen staff. I don't know. I'm sure some of you are familiar with Pat Bosman, and anybody that's had Bosman Hospitality knows you don't go hungry. So we do not go hungry all week long. We have a nurse that's on site 24 hours a day. She makes sure that all the meds get administered correctly. She also makes sure that Band-Aids are ready to be handed out, tissues and smiles and hugs. So it's important. We've been blessed every year to have a wonderful staff. God has provided every year to make sure that we have just the right amount of people to fill the spots that need to be filled. When it comes to camp, chapel time is our most important time out of every day and out of the whole week. It's our chapel time. Andy and Loretta Burgess bring our characters to life during chapel time. They come in, they make sure to always share the good news of salvation, and they teach life lessons from God's Word along the way. Some of the stories that they brought include Moses, Priscilla and Aquila, and Fanny Crosby. The campers also have workbooks that they're given at the beginning of the week. And in these workbooks, there are lessons that go along with the Bible stories and correspond with them. And they go through throughout the week, and they'll work on those during the free time. I'm getting louder and louder, I think. Maybe I'll speak up and they'll turn it down. They work on these all the way through the week with their counselors during the free time, so that not only are they hearing things, but they're taking it back with them and sitting down in the cabins, and their counselors are going back through it with them to make sure that they understand what they hear, to make sure that they are grasping it, that it's not just a story that they hear and then we'll go on and do something else. We want to make sure that they really understand what's going on there. After lunch each day, we have a true life adventure story that continues from day to day throughout the week. This past year, it was the story of Corrie ten Boom. Swim time is always a fun time, and we have crafts and activities each day as well. The crafts, Brenda Newcomb has done our crafts for us for a very long time, and she always makes sure that in the crafts that she chooses, it's something that the campers can put their individual spin to, but it also reinforces the Bible lessons that we have throughout the week. So that's a lot of fun. I don't get a chance to sit down during the craft time that often, but it is fun to go through and watch all the different creations that are getting made. Every day we have a free time that's built into every day to make sure that the campers and the counselors have time to interact one-on-one, to build that special bond and that special relationship that anybody that's been to camp as a kid knows is one of the things that makes camp special, is that the bonds and the relationships that you build. And we want to make sure that our special folks have that time. And we have a good nap time every afternoon. we want everybody to have a good time, but we don't want to run them ragged. We want to take them, let them go home at the end of the week tired but not completely worn out. So we get a chance for that. The theme this past summer was the Olympics. We had the opening ceremony, we had individual events, and we even had a medal ceremony for all of our winners. All of our winners got medals this year. It was a lot of fun. Each year we have an extreme time where the girls get together and they do makeovers and put on pretty dresses and all of the stuff that the girls like to do. And the guys, we go out in the woods. We go for scavenger hunts. They have had Pinewood Derbies at times. We basically figure out a way to go get dirty while the girls are getting all cleaned up. So it is a lot of fun with that. It's a great afternoon. The talent night, every year we have a talent night, and it showcases the abilities of our campers and our staff. It's always good for a laugh. It really is. And it's amazing sometimes some of the talents that some of our campers bring out that you just wouldn't expect them to have. And so that's a blessing in and of itself. The last night of camp each year, we have a time of sharing, a kind of a fireside chat, just a time of sharing for the campers to go through and share the things that they've experienced that week at camp, the things that they've learned, the things that mean something to them. And the counselors share as well. And that has been just a really beautiful time for me, because you wonder all week long, well, how much of this are these guys really taking in? How much of this is sinking in? And at the end of the week, when they start to talk about the lessons or talk about friends that they've made or experiences that they've had, you realize this is real. They're taking it in. This is not something we're just going through the motions of. But these folks are really enjoying themselves. They're really learning. They're really developing a relationship with the Lord. And that time is definitely one of the highlights of the week for me. We continue to praise the Lord for His blessings. It's been 8 years of camp now, we have, in 2005, we were at the Hickory Cove Bible Camp and had five campers and six staff members. 2006, we were up at Camp Good News in Asheville. We had 11 campers. In 07, we were at Mountaintop. We had 12 campers. 08 and 09, we were at the Sertoma 4-H camp near Hanging Rock. We had 18 and 19 campers, respectively. 2010, we were at the Haw River State Park at Brown Summit. We had 24 campers that year. And in 2011 and 2012, we've been at a camp called Camp Greer. It's up at the base of Old Fort up near Asheville. And we've had 21 and 22 campers, respectively, for both of those years. As you can tell, we've moved around a whole lot. We don't have a permanent location for Camp Jubilee. With the special needs of our campers, we need to be very particular in the places that we choose and locations we choose to have our camp. And we're committed to the ministry, and we're committed to following the Lord's leading. We're convinced the Lord is wanting us to find a permanent location for camp, somewhere that we can actually put a base down and put our roots down so that there's a familiarity that begins to grow. One of the things that we've noticed over the last 2 years, being back-to-back years at Camp Greer, is when the campers come in, there's a sense of familiarity this year. They came in and I know this place. We were here last year. Cool. Well, this is still there, and that's still over here, and we can go and do this, and are we going to do this year? Are we going to do that? And they don't spend that day or two trying to figure things out. The familiarity is something that's really big for our campers, that going in and feeling comfortable and feeling safe. And so keeping all of that in mind, please pray with us as we're actively searching for a permanent location for camp. Besides Camp Jubilee, Mount Jubilee currently has two other branches of ministry. They're the Touchpoint Seminars and the Day Camps. They're conducted three times a year simultaneously. The Touchpoint Seminars are for parents and caregivers, and they've covered a range of topics: health and nutrition, continuing education, financial and estate planning, and some other legal issues as well. These seminars also at the end include a time of group discussion so that the parents and the caregivers can stop and talk with the person that's come in to speak, to get a chance to ask questions, to get advice, to put out specific situations and dilemmas that they may be facing, so that it's not just a time of lecture, but it is a time of interaction so that we can provide support for the different families as they need it, instead of a blanket approach, because each one of these families is facing unique and different situations, and so they need unique and different plans. At the same time that these seminars are going on, we have day camps. The day camps are for our campers as well as any other families that may have special needs, folks that are just wanting to kind of get a feel for what Mount Jubilee really is all about. The day camps are run by summer camp staff members as well as Mount Jubilee volunteers. During the day camp, they've got they sing songs, play games, do crafts. They have Bible lessons and snacks, and they just have fun. It's just a time where they can get back together with their friends from camp. They can make new friends and just enjoy themselves in an environment that's supportive of them. It's an excellent way for them to get more socialization. It's also an excellent way to reach out to neighbors and friends that have special needs children as well. People are really reluctant. I mean, any parent is reluctant to send their child off to camp. But when your child has special needs, you're very reluctant because you're always there. You don't know. Maybe something will go wrong and you won't know what to do. And I'm always with them and I know what to do. And they really are reluctant to let their children go. And this gives an opportunity for them to meet some of the staff, for them to understand what it is that Mount Jubilee is about. And in a setting where they can gain some information as well and a little more familiarity, so that in hopes that when summertime rolls around next year and it's time for camp, they'll say, well, yeah, go ahead and go for the week. And then we'll bring them right in the Camp Jubilee family, and at the end of the week, we'll encourage them to go home, and inside we're always a little happy when they're going, but I don't want to go yet, because it means something good's happened. We also have the opportunity to take our special folks out into the community to do other community events. We've taken them to the Barnum & Bailey Circus. We have taken them to Disney on Ice. We'll actually be going to Disney on Ice tomorrow night, so we're looking forward to that. It's a lot of fun just to be able to get them out and to do things like that with them. So what else is in store? After 8 years, after spending about 8 years now, the Mount Jubilee Board believes that God is leading to expand the ministry. There's a need in our Christian community for a wholesome, Christ-centered program that nurtures and trains our young people with special needs. The state has programs. There are secular programs that are available. Some of them are good. Others, not so much. But there's a need for a Christ-centered program. Some of our families are waiting for residential programs for their loved ones. They're waiting for group homes to become available in a setting that they're comfortable to place their loved ones in, to know that they're going to be taken care of, to know that the home that they're going to be living in is run by the same values that they run their home by, that it's not run by a state mandate, but it's run the way that God wants a household to be run. There are other families that are in need of day programs and special training, sheltered workshops, so that they're in a position where they can still care for their loved ones, but their loved ones need some exposure. They need to be able to get out to learn new skills and learn new trades. Both of these are avenues that we're prayerfully considering, that the board is looking into and feels that it's a direction that the Lord is leading us in His time, both into the area of group homes and residential programs and into developing a specialized workshop, a skilled workshop for these young folks as well. Pray with us that we will know what God's timing is here. And we're praying as well to have partners to come and join with us to help to expand the ministry of Mount Jubilee. We recognize the benefits of expanding our camp program as well. It's something that we're looking at as we're looking into a permanent location for camp. We want to be able to include family camps so that our families can come in with their loved ones on a week separate from the week of camp for the campers. We're also looking to do specialized weeks of camp. Rather than having all of our campers come together, have a week that focuses on autistic children, have a week that focuses on Down syndrome and specific needs, so that we can tailor the week to fit that group of campers, to actually make it that much more of an experience for them. We're also aware that there is a need because of the problem that we've run into from year to year finding a location for camp. We recognize there are other organizations like Mount Jubilee that need a place, and we'd like to be able to provide them with a place to come in to call home as well, so that they can provide and take care of their special folks and the ministries that they have, as well as making it available for church retreats and family reunions. We're organizing an advisory council that's made up of professionals who have a heart for our ministry. The hope and prayer here is that the council will broaden our areas of exposure and that they'll enrich the ministry both through their input and their contacts. So please be in prayer with us about that. Your prayer support is the most important thing for Mount Jubilee. Camp for 2013 is scheduled for the week of the 4th of July. We're praying for 30 campers, which means that we'll need 30 counselors as well. It's a big request, but it's not bigger than our God. We know it's possible. We're praying for our direction in our future ministry. Pray that the Lord's wisdom will be made known to the board as they look to expand. Many of our families have needs. Some of them are very big needs. Pray for strength for each and every one of them as they're going from day to day. Just pray that the Lord will make himself known to them on a daily basis, that he'll provide them the strength to just continue to go on. That folks with special needs children are, they're a special breed of parent. I know. My mom's one of them. They've got a lot of resolve. They've got a lot of backbone. And at the same time, they get real tired. So we need to continually keep them before the Lord, that the Lord will continue to provide them strength and to just make himself known to them every day in a very special way. The most important thing that you can pray for Mount Jubilee, though, is to pray that in everything that we do, both in our ministry and in our lives, that in everything that we do, we bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our daily prayer, because it doesn't matter what we do if we're not bringing glory and honor to the Lord. The banner verse for Mount Jubilee is Matthew 25:40. And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." It's a special verse, it is. And spending time, if you ever have the opportunity to come up and work with us at camp, and you get an opportunity to spend a day or a week with us, you'll see that what may seem like a really hard thing is really not. To take the time to express the love of Christ to these special folks, you get more blessing than you'd ever give. This is the point where it would be logical for me to kind of pursue the topic of what can we do for the Lord in relation to these special folks. But instead, I want to share something priceless that I've learned from them. I want to share with you what it truly means to have childlike faith. One thing, if you've ever had any real involvement with special needs folks, one thing that you'll come to realize is once they believe in something, you're not going to convince them any different. You're not going to change their mind. There's no way about it. Once they decide that something's true, that's it. And when it comes to the Lord and you're talking with them, when you come and sit down and talk with them about the Lord, there's no denying the fact that they love the Lord. And it's a personal relationship to them. Turn with me to Mark 10:13. Mark 10:13. Then they brought the little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the base for everything that we believe. That's the base. This childlike faith. we can, and in fact we're told, to search out our faith. We're told to study and show ourselves approved. We're told to rightly divide the word of truth. We're to constantly seek to grow in our faith and in our relationship with the word, with the Lord. We're supposed to work out our faith, and James tells us that our works need to speak for our faith. But at the bottom of everything, it's this childlike faith. This thing that we just know to be true. Our God is the one and only true God. And the only way to get to Him is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we're pushed for a reason for our belief, we have to come to rest on our faith. We have to. Why do we believe in the Bible? How do we know that Christ was and is who He says He is? How do we know that God really loves us? How do we know God created heaven and earth? How do I know that I'm going to heaven when I die? How do I know that if I'm not saved, I would go to hell? How do we know we're going to heaven? The Bible tells us. The Bible tells us, but it's our faith that we stand on. It's our childlike faith. We have the answer to all of those questions, but at the bottom of each and every one of them, it's our faith. That's what we stand on. What kind of faith is it? What is this substance of things hoped for? This evidence of things not seen? What is it? I want to look at two examples of what it is and what it is not. Both of these come from stories we're really familiar with, but I want to look at just a small role in each one of them. It's one that I think is overlooked. So if you turn with me to John chapter 6. John 6, verses 8 and 9. This is a familiar story. It's about the feeding of the 5,000. In verse 8, it says, "And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?'" But what are they among so many? What side of this verse do we find ourselves on? Are we like Andrew? Do we ask the Lord, "How's this going to work? We don't have what we need." Or are we like the little boy? The little boy that has faith. He didn't know how Christ was going to use his lunch. He had no idea. But he knew that it was all he had. And he knew that if he gave it to Christ, Christ could do more with it than he ever could. Obviously, the disciples still had a whole lot to learn here. But the little boy, with his childlike faith, he knew. He handed over his lunch. 5,000 people were fed, and there were baskets of food left over. That little boy's faith is a wonderful example of childlike faith. One other I want to look at is a story about a very brave little girl. Turn back to 2 Kings 5 with me. Second Kings 5, verse number 1. "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel.' Then the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was, when Elijah, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know there's a prophet in Israel." And then it goes on as Naaman gets sent, and he throws a hissy fit, and says, "Well, I'm a great man. What are you telling me to go to this muddy river for?" And he acts like a great man of valor. And one of his servants tells him, "Hey, he told you to go do something big. You go and do it. All he told you to do is go take a bath in a river. Go on, do it." And he went, "Well, okay, I guess you're right. It came on this way." So he went and took a bath. Look back at verse 15. "He returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, 'Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant.'" Now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Think of the risk that little girl took. It's a little girl, a little slave girl. She could have opened her mouth and Naaman could have looked at her and said, "Who are you?" She had no rights. She had nothing. She was a little slave girl. This was the commander of the entire Syrian army. What would have happened if she'd have sent him and nothing happened? What would have happened if she'd have told him about it and he'd gotten sent back? What would have happened if the king of Syria would have gotten mad? She could have died. Anything could have happened. She was a little slave girl. But it didn't matter. She knew. She knew her God was the God. And she spoke up. She spoke up. And look at the impact of her faith. Not only was her master healed, but God was glorified. And quite likely, through her action, another soul was added to the kingdom. This is the kind of faith that we have to remember as the basis of our salvation. This childlike faith is what sets us apart from the world. Just like the little girl, our faith can be what shows people the way to the Lord. We can have all the facts in the world. We can argue this up one side and down the other, why the Bible is right, why it was here, and why this is right and this and these people are wrong. We can have all of these different facts. We can argue and argue and argue. We can debate. We can stand on everything. But if the people, when they look at us, they see we don't believe what we're telling them, it doesn't matter. We can have the most convincing argument in the world. But when they look at you, when they look at me, and they see I've got doubt, why are they going to believe in something I don't believe in? It's this childlike faith. This childlike faith is what lets someone know they believe what they're telling me. They believe their God is the one and only true God. They believe the only way to get to heaven is through their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When they see that faith, then they see something they don't have. They can have facts. The world's full of facts. There are books galore full of facts. But true belief, true faith, true belief and true faith only comes from one place. That it comes from our God. Our one and only true God. From our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are children of God. Let's make sure that the world sees the love of our Father through us. Let's be like my friend Corey. I just met Corey last summer at camp. Corey's a special guy. He really is. He has a smile that starts at one ear and it ends at the other. Never met a stranger. Loves everybody he comes in contact with. We told Corey at the beginning of the week that at the end of the week, he'd have a chance to share his testimony if he wanted to share his testimony. Corey didn't want to wait till the end of the week. Corey started right then. I told him that he'd have a chance at the end of the week. 10 minutes later, I knew his testimony. Every chance he got to tell anybody that would listen, not just once, but as many times as he could get them to listen, every time he got the chance, he would look at them and he'd tell them, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. When I die, I'm going to heaven. Jesus loves me and he's forgiven my sins. Every time. It didn't matter if you knew you or not. He was going to tell you, Jesus died for my sins. He loves me. I'm going to heaven one day. We can follow that example of that childlike faith. It's not hard to smile at somebody. It's not hard to tell them Jesus loves them. It's not hard at all. But we have to be willing to do it. We have to be willing to let God's love shine through us. We have to be willing to be like a child, to let our childlike faith shine through, not to worry about what somebody's going to think or how we're going to look. You know, it took me a long time, but I came to realize that, you know what, if I look a little bit goofy, but I look goofy for God, it's all right. If things don't quite come out quite right, that's okay, because you know what, I'm not perfect. But whoever it is that really has an issue with me, they're not perfect either. That's okay. But if they want to make an issue and take an issue, then it'll give me an opportunity to sit down with them and tell them about the one perfect man that I do know. So let's remember that for all the knowledge we may get, it all does come down to our childlike faith. Let's take a minute and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for loving us. We thank you for wonderful examples that you have given to us, both in your word and out, of this childlike faith that's necessary for salvation. Lord, I thank you for Corey. I thank you for the blessing that he's been to me. I thank you that you sent your Son, your one and only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You sent him to die on the cross. You sent him to die for Corey, and you sent him to die for me, and you sent him to die for every other person in this room. And I thank you for that. I thank you that you've promised us that through him we have forgiveness for our sins. We have the promise of eternal life. And I thank you that you give us the opportunity to come and meet together, to look into your word. Lord, I just thank you for each and every person here this evening. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to have come and presented the ministry that you've given to us through Mount Jubilee. We ask that you continue to work through Jubilee to accomplish your will. And we just ask that you be with us for the rest of this evening. Lord, we ask that everything that we do bring glory and honor to your name. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.